That was the first time I'd ever opened that other case up, and I was like, oh my god, it is it is grim in here.
Yeah. When I first started working in computers, we had a bloke come in and his computer had shorted, and so we popped it up on the table, opened it up, there's a fucking mouse in there that chewed through the power cord. Somehow a mouse had got in there. No fucking idea how, but there was a mouse in there.
Mice can make themselves pretty tiny, but that's, yeah.
It got in and chewed through the power cords. It was a dead mouse.
Player 2 Pixelcast, episode 187. I am your host, Tim Henderson. I am very good at writing emails and alt-tabbing between multiple fucking things and seeing... You know, I really should just be able to remember what the last episode was at this point.
As you get older, you lose your memory, Tim.
I didn't have it when I was 12. It just never came in. Just do what some other places do and like just say, this is the one for this date. I can just look down at the bottom of the computer and be like, oh, yep, it is currently the middle of... Holy shit, it's the middle of June.
It's the middle of June.
And you say you're sounding soft again. On that note, Houston is sorry. Here.
I am here. I was speaking softly then. My fault.
Oh, yeah, cool, whatever. Definitely no technical glitches, no RAM sticks frying or anything like that.
No, I've had my fill of that today, the most expensive part of a computer at this point.
Yeah, remember when you speak glib about it? Rob, remember when you speak glib about RAM?
I just hope that none of my hardware dies in the near future, or I'm out of luck.
Yeah, it's like reading or watching some stuff saying, like, the gaming monitors... scene is like exploding right now. They're not feeling the pinch at all. I'm going, yeah, fucking hell, you're not. You're like the one upgrade that people can afford at the moment. Like
that and maybe a nice mouse, you know?
Yeah. Because you can get a meaningful like improvement to your experience, like with a good quality screen. If you can't turn the settings up, if you haven't seen shiny colors in a decade, it's like it makes a difference. So, yeah, like if I was looking at the price of RAM versus like I could get an OLED monitor for like literally less than what was a $100 configuration. I know where mine might be going as well.
Yeehaw.
Yeah. But, you know, this all needs to survive because, you know, this whole episode, this whole thing right now, we're talking about, you know, Key3.
Mm.
Not E3, the Hype Fest, which immediate summary was better than I expected, I guess, but I'll give it that much at least, but we'll get, you know, into more details. We're going to go the ups and the downs and the in-betweens. Before that, though, we do have games which people are playing for, you know, various reasons, largely because, you know, this is a gaming website and a gaming podcast, and that's probably what you'd expect. So why are you playing...
Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2?
Two.
Yeah. So I've always got a bit of a soft spot for an interesting development story, right? You know, there was Homefront Revolution, which, you know, was an absolute shit show of development. Remember that? And I had a soft spot. It was broken. It wasn't a great game. But I had this kind of soft spot for it to see what developers had gone through hell and managed to get something out. Same for Dead Island 2. I think that turned out really fun.
Most people agree that came out pretty okay.
Yeah, that came out pretty good. It went through hell in development as well. And Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 is another game that went through development hell. Changed developers like... 3 years into development, and then they basically had to scrap it and start again. And as a result, it has some inherent problems that are going to put off fans immediately. And that is that it's not really a sequel to Bloodlines anymore. I think it initially started out that way, which was, so the original Bloodlines, for those that don't know, was a very in-depth RPG from the, I think, early 2000s.
Early aughts, yeah.
Yeah.
2004. It launched just before Half-Life 2, It was like one of the first Source Engine games.
Yeah, and so it's a very well-loved game, a very dedicated group of fans that really like the depth that you can really role-play in this world of Vampire, which is the vampire world from the tabletop games and, you know, the lore where they kind of live, the vampires live alongside humanity, and they've got this thing called the Masquerade, which means they're basically not letting humanity know. They've just got to hide in the shadows and control things from there. So the Bloodlines 2 is definitely not that big all-in RPG. Had they called this Vampire the Masquerade anything else, I think its reception would have been much better. Because as it is, it's kind of part Dishonored, part detective game. I'm about 4 hours in. You play the role of this elder vampire who has just woken up. She's been in what they call a tambour, which is basically she's been in hibernation. And she wakes up, and you find very soon that when a vampire wakes up from this state, they just basically kill the first thing they see to control the beast, and then they become in control of themselves again. You know, they come out the beast and they have to eat. And she manages to eat this vampire detective is the first thing. She's like a proper gumshoe, you know, noir kind of voice going on. And as a result, his voice is in your head. And so you've kind of got this double act going on of this kind of elder vampire who's, you know, seen it all, been around forever, and this other detective vampire. And you set off to find out who, A, woke you up, and B, put this kind of mark on you that is kind of inhibiting your powers as an elder vampire. So that's how it starts out. And you go in and you see all the different, I guess, clans involved in vampire, and you talk to them all, and there's missions. But a lot of it plays like Dishonored. So you've this vampire, you can stealth around, you can jump up walls. You've got different powers depending on which clan you choose. As your original clan, I chose this kind of blood mage clan where I can like throw blood knives and set people's blood to boil and all these other things.
Right, got that sounds like a pretty badass skill set, to be honest.
It's pretty cool. This one power is the best power. You can curse this person, and as soon as you hit that person, they explode because they're cursed. It takes a little while, so you do it from stealth and you curse them, and then you jump in, hit them, and then a whole bunch of people like die from this explosion. It's really cool.
Sounds like a really nice like safety trick if you are trying to play stealth, like going, I may not kill this person, but if I do get in trouble, they're just gonna pop.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's also the challenge of staying hidden. You know, humans walk around this fictional city, Seattle, but you know, it's a very fictionalized version of Seattle. And you've got to try and stay out of their radar, because if you do things that are unexpected, then eventually you break the masquerade and everyone comes after you, including other vampires, because you can't do that. So there's this kind of balance of stealthy killing, and then there's all-out action sections and things like that. So, yeah, very, very familiar feel for anyone that's played Dishonored. That's a really good grip for the action side of things and the stealthy bits. And then there's this detective side, which your detective in your head, and he helps you out finding all these different things around. And occasionally you get to play as him in his like dreams, and you're kind of connecting his past and how he ended up opening up your coffin, and getting killed. He doesn't remember that because he got killed. And so you're kind of piecing these dreams together and the whole story. And look, I'm enjoying it. It's not the greatest thing on the planet. There's some dodgy writing. The pacing's a bit all over the place too. Some voice acting, it feels very, you know, double A. It doesn't feel like the big Masquerade RPG that it wanted to be originally. But otherwise, I think as a $50 game, there is a lot to like here. I wouldn't buy it at full price, and I didn't buy it. I got it on sale on Steam over the weekend.
Probably also got it patched to high heaven over what
And that's
it was
the
like.
Other thing, too. When it came out, I can't tell you what it was like when it launched, if it had a lot of tech issues or anything like that. The experience now is quite smooth, and it's fun to play. Look, I think at the moment, if you're looking for that sort of Dishonored experience, because there's not a lot of them out there, and you find a good price, this is a game to check out. It's cool lore. I really like the lore here. And I'm not in any way connected to this IP. I've dabbled previously, but that's about it. But I really like these clans and this kind of underworld that the vampires live in and try and stay out of the eye of humans and how it all works. There's a lot of politics going on there. And I guess this game doesn't dive in as deep as what the original Bloodlines did, but it's a really nice background to what is a cool detective story featuring a really powerful vampire. So
you may be right that they should have just called it something else. Like
they should have called it something else. Yeah,
Vampire the Masquerade: Without Honor. There you go.
Yeah. You know, Vampire the Masquerade. They could have called it Vampire Masquerade: The Investigation, or you know, anything. But by adding Bloodlines to it, you've immediately created expectations from a legion of very dedicated fans,
and it is understandable if
they're shitty about it. Yeah, because, absolutely.
Like you made that bed. Even if you made the bed well, like you said, we were giving you silk sheets, and you're like, actually, they're cotton.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think yeah, that was the biggest mistake. And instead of when they changed developers, they should have changed the name. That should have been what happened. They made a massive error there. So if you can look past that, or if you have no connection to the franchise at all, which is a lot of people now, it's well worth a look. It's in a good state now. I'm playing on PC, but it's in a good state, at least on PC, and I'm having fun. I'm about 5 hours in. It seems that I've probably, it's not going to be too long. I feel like it's going to be like around that 15 to 20 hour mark. Sort of game. That's the kind of vibe I'm getting. It's not a very big map. It's a smaller map that you get to know quite well, quite easily.
See, that I appreciate.
Yeah, you know, yeah. When people say I'll meet you at this point, you get to the point where you don't need the map. You can just kind of run off in that direction and know where they're going. I love that. It doesn't happen enough.
I love that so much.
So yeah, I like what they've done here. It's just a shame it was packaged in the wrong way.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, if you buy some butterscotch and you get some pretty good chocolate, then...
Yeah.
Good chocolate, but if you were expecting butterscotch, I don't know why my brain went to butterscotch. I'm in a nano mode, apparently.
But yeah, that's exactly true. Like, and I totally get why fans are upset with it, and they have every right to be. They were promised a sequel to Bloodlines. It's called Bloodlines 2. It's not really Bloodlines 2. It's Vampire the Masquerade, another subtitle.
Yeah. Because I was definitely like, I was looking forward to it as Bloodlines too, but like, I'm not hardcore, but I really did enjoy Bloodlines back when that came out.
Yeah.
So I was looking forward to it for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously was a little disappointed to hear it didn't quite land, even with what it was. And I think that, yeah, had it had, like you were saying, had it had a different name, I probably would have been willing to forgive it a bit more, but it sounds like it's all right. So
it's fun. Like it's, you know, the sort of game you're happy to pay $30 or $40 for. If it turned up as a freebie on Epic, it'd be great. You know, that sort of thing. You're not going to be upset if you did pay full price. You might be a bit, because you know, like I said, there are some rough edges. But there's a lot to like if you can look past those rough edges. So, yeah.
I mean, it's still worth noting that you played it for at least 5 hours so far, and you didn't have to, and you were in a position where
It's that time of year, right, where there's no review games covered. So I went, why not? It's
something we'll get into this later. But man, we were in a calm before one motherfucking storm.
Oh boy!
Yeah.
Oh boy!
Yeah, we are. But yeah, check it out if you want something different. It's fun.
Or you know, you like Dishonored.
Yeah.
Specifically. Yeah, I mean, I've also gone through the backlog, like, I call it backlog. I've gone back through the games that I bought for my trip to Ireland that already seems like kind of like a little while ago. You know, bought myself options, so when I'm on the plane, I go, what I'm in the mood for. All right, boom, this is what I'm going to do. So I've gone back into Promise Mascot Agency. We went a little bit too far in that previous conversation. I had a segue with word promise, and then you guys kept on moving. I was like, damn it.
God damn it. Ruined his segue.
Which I had to get back into a bit because this is definitely a handheld PC friendly game, but it also took a little bit of finagling. I can't remember how I got it working anymore, but it just wouldn't boot at all.
Okay.
It wasn't that hard to fix. And I wish I could remember how to fix it because I'm probably putting people off. If you install this on a ROG Ally and it's just like, nope. But once you actually get it installed, turn a couple of settings down, you can actually run it pretty well in the lowest power setting, which is actually pretty helpful, but it's now gotten to the point where I had half of today off and I spent most of my time sitting in front of a much more meaty PC still playing this fucking thing. As for what this fucking thing is, it is the new-ish, the more recent game from Kaizen, which is the team behind Paradise Killer. Yeah, these guys get it. These guys understand a vibe they're going for. They will go in for it hard. To the positive, I don't want to say detriment, like, but it's not like Paradise Killer. Like, you look at that thing, and you're like, "Fuck me, this is awesome." This doesn't quite have the same wow factor. They've gone very, I want to say, Showa era. Like, it, the whole game, both in how it's presented and the world you're in, looks like a part of Japanese countryside where nothing has been constructed since the '80s.
It even has like a nostalgia filter, which, you know, honestly, in some ways, like makes the visuals a little bit worse that they recommend you play with it on, because it, like, it adds to the vibe of what they're going for. And yeah, unexpectedly, this is, if you've played Paradise, because you know, this is like a pretty weird and unique game, like open world in the sense that it's something I appreciate. You're on effectively a small island of sorts. Like it is a rememberable, you will eventually know your way around most of these places, scale worlds. Specifically because it's set in a small town in Kyushu, and it is more Yakuza-y than Yakuza games. Yeah, I don't know if I have Yusa's attention or not there. He's gonna... But when you don't actually get to pound any people into the pavement or anything.
So that's part of the appeal.
Yeah, I'm just saying, especially the character is, I want to say his nickname is like the janitor. And you think about why a person would be called that if they were part of a Yakuza family.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is that? But he ended up in like taking the fall for like part of a deal going bad. So this is already sounding pretty cute to you, like.
Yep.
And puts the clan into massive, not really his fault, he kind of like stood up for somebody else. So yeah, puts our whole clan into massive debt, and he's like sent off to this kind of banishment small town. Where it's
to run an orphanage?
Like a not quite. It's weirder. It is significantly weirder. We're going to get there. And seen as almost like a death sentence, like you fade into obscurity and like... it's annoying because the very first part of this game was way back when I was trying to get it to run. I got back into it again recently and going, crap, I've lost part of the weird opening setup. But you effectively end up meeting a character called Pinky, who will be the who will help you run... what is a mascot agency in Japan is not to the degree that this game portrays, but it is like semi-obsessed with mascots, like people walking around in dumb costumes. Every prefecture has one and ever, and you basically renovate like an old love hotel to act as your hotel. And then again, also the mascots, and it's going to get where it's very weird here, are not people in costumes. Like just some people seem to be, as far as I can tell from this world, born as mascots. It's like, cool, my body is like triangular and green for some reason.
Okay.
Yeah. But Pinky, just to literally make, this is where this game gets more Yakuza than the Yakuza games. Pinky is a human-sized severed pinky finger. He's got like little arms and legs and is a very, very crass. So they're your main companion as you like drive around town and it's like beat up old truck, which you do. You don't actually control walking around in this. It's all like driving around, and then when you meet people, you like kind of get off and it's all a lot of dialogue scenes like between them. And you're basically trying to rejuvenate the town by recruiting other mascots who've obviously fallen on hard times because the town is a dump and it's dying. It's probably part of why, even though it's set in the, more or less the current day, they have gone for this visual design that like would evoke a movie from the middle of the 80s or something.
Yep.
Because the mayor is just like corrupt between all, just, you know, quite essentially corrupt. Like they had a rejuvenation fund from the government and he just did the bare minimum to like get the money, but never redistributed it to any businesses.
Yeah. That.
So yeah, the whole town
sounds
is
like
dying.
A local council everywhere.
Yeah, maybe. So yeah, you're converting this love hotel, you're going around trying to find like these mascots who are like just down on their luck. And yeah, as I said, they're just weird beings. You've got Pinky there and none of them are super family friendly. Like the first one is like an old friend of Pinky's who is just a block of tofu who's crying all the time. and a couple later you meet this cat who keeps on complaining about pixelation in AV. If you know what that means, you know what that means. If you don't, it would help with the description that it is covered in goop that they describe as, no, this is radish shavings, but it's very clearly designed to like look like this thing is draped in jizz. You're like sending out for like store opening events and shit as you're like, you know, trying to say, all right, you know what? You open your bookstore again, you open your cafe, we're going to like help you out, we're going to get you this promotion. Promotional material, and so it's kind of like driving around town, just cleaning. There's a whole bunch of stuff littered around because, like, everybody has, oh, we lost this here, we lost that there, and you, like, gradually find that, and they will help out in the form of like hero cards because you will assign your mascots to a matching task as they more become available, the more people you speak to. Okay, here's a place that might need them. Here's a person who knows what they are. Boom, it just becomes a drop-down menu. But, like, they screw up a lot. Like, you'll get, like, calls for help, and, like, I think the first one is pretty scripted. They're otherwise randomly generated when you, like, send the block of tofu out for the first gig, and it's like, they're coming in, and, oh, no, they're stuck in the door! who thought to put a normal-sized door in the entrance with this fucking mascot? And then, like, this kind of old school, like mid-70s almost, like Street Fighter screen would have looked like back then, of just like the character's name Tofu versus normal sized door. And then like you've kind of all these people that you've met for one way or the other, like take the form of action cards that they give you, and they have like different skills, and you can mulligan it to reform, and like, okay, this is the problem and here's a stat you need to match. It's very straightforward, but it's just very, very silly having these things come up all the time. There's a lot of getting stuck in things, or like just shit breaking. It's like they're using a cash register and they've hit it too many times and now there are coins exploding everywhere. Or they've hit the vending machine too many times and now there are just soda pop fucking flying all over the place. It's a weird fucking game, and it started to grow on me because it's gone from something I thought that it's like, I'm going to play this on the train when I'm on there for an hour to, I spent most of this afternoon playing it when I could have been playing something that made use of all this hardware.
Yeah, it's always funny. You get a new computer and the first thing you play is something old or small or little. Or
yeah, I mean, this could probably run on my old machine. I'd have to turn everything down to medium or something there, but probably only down to medium. Yeah, it is not as striking as Paradise Killer, and it takes a whole different turn. But once all those wheels like start turning and all the things like going on, it's like, all right, yeah, I'm going to probably keep on playing this. I assume there's an end game. I don't want to say too much more than that because, like, there are some weird plot developments and things. But yeah, one, you can definitely get it to work on a Rogue Alley, and it's not too difficult. I wish I could have remembered what it was I had to do to fix it because I went into way more complicated territory than I needed to, and it turned out to be pretty simple fix. But yeah, this is an easy one. Like, if it's on sale, and I don't even want to say if you liked Paradise Kill, the vibe's very, very different. If the weird shit that I've been talking about sounds interesting to you. And again, like right now we're in that lull before everything's going to explode in like 2 months.
Yeah.
Give it a look. What's the worst that can happen is, I guess you could have people asking you why you have a 7 pinky character like walking around. And, you know, you can pick up decals to like, just, you know, dress up her nail with. Meanwhile, Rob, one of the missions in this game is you go around collecting old arcade machines for somebody who's probably obsessed with shmups.
Wow.
I did not have to make that up as well.
Yeah. So I've been playing Project X Light Years. This is a shooter that came out some point last year and has been sort of bit of this, like, you know, there's been a bit of a shooter revival. A lot of the times it tends to be like arcade games and stuff like from the Japanese side of things. Project X, the original Project X, was an Amiga game from about 30 years ago by Team 17 before they became Worms Obsessed, yeah. Which is notoriously being brutal and suffering a lot of the traits of what is derogatorily called a Euroshmup. Like a lot of European design traits that anger a lot of shooter fans. This, on the other hand, was done by some fans. It's all like official, like they've done stuff, you know, it's all properly licensed and stuff. And it sort of is the second sequel. The first was a sequel that was done on the PlayStation in the 90s. But this is sort of bringing a bit of modern flair to the shooter. And it's actually, I've really been enjoying it a lot more than the original game. The story, you know, as threadbare it is, alien threat coming to Earth. And one of the things is, as you go through, I think it's like 10 stages. I've only made it to like stage 3. Is like, as you complete each stage, you get this sort of map. And it's like, here's this alien threat fleet coming towards Earth. And as you're defeating them, the number is growing smaller. Because it's like the last mission to stop the invasion. Otherwise, they're going to overwhelm Earth and obliterate it. So you go through, you fly along, you've got your normal sort of Gradius style power-up system. You destroy enemies, you get little P icons that advance a bar, and you can get, you know, missiles and speed-ups and increase, like, guns, and you can have... One thing that's different to a lot of shooters is that you've got, like, four guns that you could switch between. And so, like, a normal blast, a plasma blast, a magma blast. So it's kind of like you switch those. They have different, you know, better on shields, better on straight enemies. The other stuff that's kind of interesting is you go through as you've got other, like, other pickups, but there's one particular set of pickups that spells the word armory. And if you collect all of that, and just before you get to the end boss, you basically get, like, these... like a shop that lets you buy, like, expand the bar so you can add, like, an extra level to your missiles or your guns that you have to then get a pickup for. So it kind of feels really like the upgrade system beyond a point feels kind of different.
It's like a permanent upgrade, except you still have to get it every stage.
Yeah. So what happens is, like, your normal pickup. So unlike most shooters, when you get blasted and die, you won't lose all the power-ups you've already gotten. You might lose, like, a level of one item. Like, it randomly goes, you lost, like, your guns are down a level. But now what happens is you could basically add that level. So you have, like, for example, the missiles have two levels when you start out. But then if you collect armory, you get to the end of the stage and there's a add an extra missile slot. So now you'll have three levels of missiles. And those extra slots are permanent, but you might lose, like, go down a level.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting kind of system. It's a bit rough. Like, there's one of the things I think there's, like, there was a very small team on this game just from reading the posts in the Steam forum, which is kind of cool. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's odd throwbacks. So when it loads a level, it has, like, a little, instead of just saying loading and doing a little animation, it has, like, loading files, like, out of 300. And it's playing a sound of, like, a floppy disk drive going off. Like, this is on it. Like, you know, old 3.5-inch drive on your PC, kind of like it would have been on an Amiga. I swear it's the same sound one of the Amiga emulators uses. But, yeah, there's an odd character to it. I've been having fun with it. It does some things that's a little unpolished. Like, one of my bugbears in a shooter is when you have enemies, you know, you're flying, you know, you're facing right, you're flying left to right. But you'll have enemies that come from behind you and you don't have a rear firing weapon. That's sort of a bit of a design bugbear. Because it's sort of like, oh, you've got to be...
You've got to, like, circle around them while you're doing
everything. Yeah, you've got to wait for them to get past you.
Yeah.
Kind of thing like that. There's one thing I don't like in that the levels seem really long. Like, just from timing. And I had a run, you know, like this evening before the pod. And I got to level 3 and it was like about half an hour of run time. The levels are like 10 minutes long, which feels really lengthy. And there's a lot of mini bosses.
That sounds exhausting, actually. Like, because shmups are, you know, they are intense focus.
Yeah.
Games normally.
And this isn't as intense as, like, a cave shooter or some of those bullet hell kind of games that tend to be more common these days. It's definitely not as intense as that. So maybe it doesn't feel that bad. But, like, the second level boss I got to, and it took me quite a few lives to get through. But the thing that got me is every time you died, you had to restart the fight. And it was like several phases of just, like, whittling it down.
Oh, that's some Cuphead shit.
Yeah. It's sort of like, they're blemishes that are a bit annoying, but I still liked it. I mean, I picked it up on Steam because it was on sale. I think, unfortunately, the sale is going to end, like, tonight. But I picked it up I've been enjoying
this,
it.
I've learned that Steam is currently having a bullet fest, which it will definitely not be having by the time we get this episode.
That's all right. Yeah. Steam sales are in second week of July anyway, so it'll probably be on sale again anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I'm enjoying it for that. It does a lot of little funny nostalgia pushes. Like I said, the loading stuff with, like, doing disk sounds and decrunching files. And it's pretty cool. Runs well on PC, on my PC here. Runs well on deck, so if you wanted some good action on the go. And this one I don't think is going to make a console appearance because I think it's just like a very small team. But there's been a bit of an Amiga shooter revival. Like there was X Out last year, which I haven't played. There's another one, Apidia, which is coming some point this year, which I kind of like. Like it's nice to see the Euro stuff getting a bit of love. because again, you know, the Euro home computer stuff is sort of in my gaming background, so been a bit off for that. Like I said, I think it's probably not going to have the biggest crowd. Like, I don't think it's polished as something like Earthion or like the Salamander 3, which is part of the Gradius Origins pack from last year. But if you want something different, you're a shooter fan, it's worth a spin, especially once it pops on sale again.
Which we presume it will. And there's actually a free demo anyway, so.
Yeah, the demo's worth a try as well. I kind of liked that, yeah, there was a demo, because I pulled the demo down, had a play. It's like, yeah, all right, I'll grab it, because I saw it was on sale, so, yeah.
Just feels like this has been your jam over the last year, Rob.
Yeah, like, again, for me, it's been like, yeah, a good shooter is, like, something I always enjoy, and at least at the moment, it's been something I can pick up and play without being able to dedicate too much time to, just because of how spotty my gaming time's been over the last few months.
Yeah, drop in, drop out definitely would help you with that. Hello, speaking about like spotty time, I guess we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we had to absorb so much fucking shit over the course of a week.
Yeehaw! Good old Summer Jeff Fest.
Stuff is over. It's done. It felt like really stretched out this year. I don't know if that was like more than usual.
Yeah, I think it might have been a couple of extra days than it usually
did
was.
Did Sony go earlier than usual?
Sony went early, and then
Nintendo decided a couple of little ones out of nowhere. They don't always do that.
Yeah. So it dragged a bit. Like, it was well over a week, I think, really, from start to finish.
Yeah, then there was. And to be fair, actually, there was a lot. We did a predictions episode. I did not have very high hopes, and that always helps. It always helps to be the underdog going in, because, yeah, it wasn't the best show ever, but it was better than I expected.
Yeah. I'm
pretty much say the Keely's shoes were not that stupid.
I don't know that I'd go that far.
They were just mostly normal shoes this time, like fashion... Yeah, fashion sneakers is a weird, dumb thing that I guess think these may be moving into the past, because sneakers should be for running. Like, that's the whole point. But yeah, I think we have in the past taken this in a conference by conference way, but this like felt like it was like so mixed up and all over the place.
Yeah.
We're going to go by a hype level way. We're going to start with, you know, we're going to start positive. We're going to say, hey, this is stuff that actually looked cool.
Yep.
Then we'll like get onto stuff we're disappointed by, and then there'll be the like, well, we're interested, but if there's any of that left over, depending on how we go for time. You know what? We're discussing it during the break anyway. So, Rob, why are you excited about Aeroplanes?
Well, I mean, so we've got the release date for Ace Combat 8.
Yep.
Basically, that was like they were saying 2026, and part of me was like, is it really going to be 2026? And turns out it is, which is great. It's they showed off a bunch of cool stuff with the reveal trailer. One of the other bits that's it's funny, we were talking in the break about sort of the, you know, the tone of Ace Combat, and part of that is I know a lot of people don't, you know, rightfully so, have negative things to say about pre-orders, but it's worth mentioning that Ace Combat 8's going to have one of the best games in the series as a pre-order bonus, Ace Combat 0, which is pretty much locked to PS2, but it looks like it's going to be
on everything. Yeah.
And Ace Combat Zero is probably one of the best in the series, but it actually is a little grimmer, than the more recent games. but it's
damn
one
it,
of
Robbie,
the best.
You're unselling me now. You're saying it's good, but also...
But it's like, the story's a bit grim. I will say this. The final mission involves, has flamenco music playing in the background.
All right. Nice. Yeah.
All right. And it's a pretty freaking epic sequence. So Ace Combat Zero is pretty good, and it is probably worth the pre-order bonus for Ace Combat 8.
But I really sound like it is like one for the fans. Like it's like saying, we know who you are.
Yeah. I mean, they did the same thing with Ace Combat 7. If you pre-ordered that on PlayStation, you got Ace Combat 5. If you pre-ordered it on Xbox, you got Ace Combat 6, which was also made available through Backcompat. They didn't do anything for the PC, which kind of sucked. But I like the fact that they're doing this for all three platforms. But yeah, but I like the fact that in Ace Combat 8, they're doing a little bit of that sort of Wing Commander-y thing where you're doing a little, like, interacting with the characters between missions. That's a new element for the series. And I kind of like the whole sort of meta story of you having to pretend to be this legendary ace pilot who gets shot down at the start, and you have to sort of like that thing of the war effort. I kind of like what they're doing with some of that stuff around the gameplay. I mean, from the stuff we've seen, the gameplay looks as tight as it always is. They've already done a good job there, and I don't expect that's going to change. But the stuff around it, I'm sort of really intrigued by. So roll on October. I can't wait to take to the skies.
And good on them for giving October something as well, because I mean, it's been said a million times at this point, but boy, September sure is a thing. Like, this show was just set, because that's the one thing big prediction we got wrong is we all thought it's like everything's going to delay into like quarter one next year.
Oh yeah.
Instead, everybody just bought everything forward a couple of months, and they're probably all looking at each other, going, "Now, going, maybe we should discuss this with each other, because like maybe like rock, scissors, paper, who goes in September, who goes in March?" Because
Grand Theft Shockwave. I think there will be a couple that will jump out, and I think that'd be wise too.
Yes, I mean, if you're just a fan of games, you're going to be eating well in September, but I don't know if it's a great situation for the industry to have this much stuff.
Not with the way things are at the moment.
Like, good-looking stuff is going to get buried.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm already gone in the wrong end. It was supposed to be so hyped right now. Go with what I'm going to share with Rob, I think. Which is, I honestly don't really care about Cuphead. I'm not a big rubber hose animation fan. I like that they got to make it, and I fucking love that they're making a Master System game.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Specifically Master System game, and watching like the GameSpots and the IGNs of the world be very confused and feel like they have to explain what the Master System is. It is nice for us to get something.
Yeah, because a lot of this kind of D-Make stuff always ends up being like NES flavored.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's usually by American studios who, you know, NES above all, but it's like, I love that, yeah, that it's the Master System.
I actually don't know how the Master System sold against the NES in Australia, but I do know that it was a very relevant machine and is the one that I grew up with.
From what I understand, was it feels like the Master System had a pretty big thing early on, and then the NES kind of closed ground a bit. Because, like, for me, I remember seeing Master System in the shops, like both Model 1 and Model 2, but I didn't know anyone who had a Master System. Whereas I did know people who had NESs. But then again, most of the people I hung out with were computer people. C64s, Amigas, PCs. So my enclave is probably different enough on that experience.
Everyone I knew had a Master System too, because they were cheap.
Yep, that's why I had one.
Yep. And they come with Alex Kidd.
And that game was pretty good. And a free game at the time was a pretty big deal.
Yep.
No, and the fact they're making an actual Master System cartridge, I mean, I don't have a Master System. Actually, I'm probably back in my room in Australia somewhere. I don't have one available to me, but I still kind of want to buy that cartridge. Like I've resisted so much retro nostalgia collectible crap, but...
That one might get you.
I will definitely buy that cartridge to play on mine, yes.
And yeah, next time I'm back home, if the Master System is still in the house and we're able to plug it into something, because fuck, it's probably a RF connector. It's not even.
Yeah, Master System 2 was RF only. You'd have to mod it or find a French one that had RGB built in.
Wow.
But I think, like, I would just want.
Couldn't you analog tune it?
It was wild at the time.
A TV?
Yeah, you have to. Most modern tuners do not
have analog anymore.
Yeah, they do. It was pretty crap anyway, yep, compared to like an older TV.
Oh, look, it's going to look like garbage in anything that is not an analog CRT yeah. anyway, so.
Yeah.
It's really just to have because it's cool. It is fucking cool that they're doing that way. Like, I don't think I'd care about the game otherwise. But yeah, I've got to give them that. I'm very happy that somebody did something that was not just, let's do an S1.
Yep.
And that was a surprise. I did not see that coming.
No. I was like, what the hell?
I woke up. My son is super pumped about Cuphead too. He loves Cuphead. He plays it. Him and his mates play it regularly. And, you know, I think they're up to the final boss of the expansion now. And they, you know, they come around and they bash their heads against the wall trying to finish this every couple of weeks, you know. So he's super keen. But I don't think he'd be interested in the Master System version.
I think you should get in the Master System one and let him think that you've got in the new one. Oh, Huso, we have had our little turn here. What is one thing that you are
actually happy about? One thing that totally surprised me and I'm really excited for is The Last Ronin. So for those that don't know, it's a comic book based on the Ninja Turtles. And it's one of, in my opinion, one of the best comic books getting around. It is such a good story. It's set in the future. It's no surprise to know that all the turtles are dead except for one, and you don't know which one's still alive.
And it's such a perfect situation for Platinum as well, because it just means...
Platinum are taking it, and that's what made me smile. I'd heard rumors that they were making a game of The Last Ronin, but when they announced that it was a Platinum game and after the job they did on Ninja Gaiden 4, I am super pumped for this. I think it's like the perfect match. It's a bit like with IOI getting Bond licensed. This feels like a perfect match of IP with developer. And
have
to do this,
made a
this
Turtles
story,
game before? Because they said
they
was reunited.
Did, but it was back when they were, you know, the hired guns doing cheap. They did a cheap Ninja Turtle game, like they did the cheap Transformers game, and the, you know, that sort of thing.
A Transformers game was kind of okay though.
Yeah, and I think the Turtle one was also kind of okay, but. Yeah, this one I'm excited for because I love the story.
Excited so. By a logo reveal trailer as well.
Yeah, I know. Like, and it's just that marriage of a story that I love and a developer that I think is ideally suited to take that story. So, yeah, very cool. I was super excited about that one when it popped up and I heard the little.
They really played into that music super hard, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, so, and if you haven't read it, read The Last Ronin. It's really good.
Yeah, I had a brief moment ago and go, God, do I have to do it dark? And I was like, wait a second, the Ninja Turtles was originally comics and they were originally dark.
Yeah,
it's full circle, like, yeah.
And The Last Ronin is quite dark. It is quite a dark story, but yeah. Well, you know, they're all dead except for one, and he uses all their weapons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why we're doing it. Just keeping this nostalgia thing for a little bit longer before we move into new stuff. So, unsurprisingly, Capcom is continuing to look to hit home runs with a remake of Code Veronica.
Yeah.
Just called Veronica. This is a weird one for me because I'm actually wearing a Dreamcast t-shirt at the moment, even. Like, no joke. but I've only played like the most opening moments of the original Code Veronica. And like it started off in like, maybe slightly overdone French accents. Is Code Veronica set in France? I actually don't know.
I don't know. I never played it. So
I
think it's probably a good one to remake because I don't think a lot of people did play it. Like, it wasn't like Resident Evil 2 or 3, you know,
I think it did pretty well on the Dreamcast, and they did actually release it on the PS2 as well.
Yeah.
But it has definitely fallen through the cracks a little bit.
Yeah.
It hasn't got the reissue treatment like the rest of the series, so.
Yeah. It's true. They have confirmed it is actually going to be third person. The whole trailer was in first person, I think, just to let it be more of a surprise, because, you know, the second Claire walks in there, you know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So good. And caught completely off guard, I did not think you could remake an UbiArt game and have it still look fantastic, but.
Yeah. I just played it.
Good.
Jess got to play that, and she was pretty high on it. And I've been known to say that I think Rayman Legend is the best 2D platformer ever made. So I'm really keen to see it, and I hope they don't fuck
it. It looks good. Like,
it looks good. And the addition of the dragon levels,
yeah.
It makes sense. It's not like changing things. It's just adding things. So, yeah.
One of those that kind of got me oddly was Stuntman Hollywood.
Which,
like, completely unexpected, but it's like, okay, you're actually doing the licensed stuff?
Yep.
Like, actually
that
going...
That seems like a lot of work.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I imagine it would have been, but, like, I think that just adds a lot to that charm. Because it's like, you're not just doing generic stuff. You get to drive Kit.
Yeah, a Death Race and Back to the Future and all these, you know... movies that people have an attachment to, and you get to do the stunts from them. That sounds cool.
Yeah, I think that that's actually, like, I'm surprised no one tried to do that with that series before. And I think, like, I hope it turns out good. That's just, like, it's silly that I think that that got me kind of, like, that excited. Just like, yeah.
I feel like that game is, like, the quintessential Father's Day present. Like,
it kind of never hit... what the potential behind it was, I think. So it was never quite there. Like, it's such a good idea that just never, they just never nailed the execution. So hopefully this one they get it right, because if they do, there's potential.
Yeah, fully agree. So it's like, yeah, I wasn't expecting that. It's like, okay, let's, I hope you nail it. That's all I can say for that. Like,
yeah. I guess I got to talk about State of Decay 3, right?
Because yeah, I mean,
I finally got to see it, and it's looking really good.
Yeah, people were.
They took a long time with it, but I'm okay with that because it looks really good.
So, people are waiting for that one.
Yeah, yeah. I love that series, so even with its janky ass self, so it'll be really good to see they've had all this time to polish, and apparently Coalition have been helping with that too. So, you know, helping them get a handle of
definitely.
Getting a handle of Unreal instead of using their kind of janky ass engine that they built themselves, which, you know, and they've managed to make it still look like their janky ass engine, just a better version of it. So they've kept that kind of flavor of State of Decay and what I've seen. So I really like the idea of that, you know, living in this zombie apocalypse, and it's not about just killing zombies. It's about surviving, and it's, you know, it plays into those classic zombie tropes where the humans are the bad guys, and you know, the zombies are just mindless animals that obstacles more than anything to survival. So yeah, I'm keen. Can't wait to see more and get my hands on it. It'll be next year.
Yeah. I would assume you're also extra keen now for Control Resonant.
Oh, yeah, that goes without saying.
Yeah. They actually acknowledged the Genesis Evangelion in that, so that, like, went way up my personal. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, at this point, I don't want another trailer for that. I don't need it. I didn't need another trailer at Summer Games Fest, to be honest, but we got like four of them, I think. But, you know, I don't need another trailer. I know that game's going to be awesome, and it's absolutely for me, and I just can't wait to just dive into it and bury myself into finding all the cool lore and all the stupid shit and all the fun that they have doing with this kind of world they've built. So, yeah, I'm excited.
No. I was also surprised to learn, reading your own coverage that you said, that you never actually finished the second Plague Tale.
No, I didn't even start it. I just, because of time, I've installed it now because the third one's coming. So I feel like I and they're not that long a games. Well, the first one wasn't that long. So
the second one took a little while longer, I want to say. It,
yeah.
I mean, you should expect this. That game gets dark.
Yeah, yeah.
It gets really fucking dark. So the new one looks great, though.
Yeah, it's more action focused too. By
it is, which, I, considering how the second one ends, it may make sense.
And also, Senua is following.
Yeah, mixed feelings about that. Like, I'm scared they may overcorrect a little bit there.
It'd be interesting to see, as long as they keep that cool, you know, the voices and voices all that still plays into it, and, you know, a bit more action won't hurt that game. The second one did. Tend towards an interactive movie for most of it, which is fine, but it's also not what I guess the masses want.
The first one I always thought had a pretty good...
It had a good balance. The combat wasn't great, but it had a good balance between, you know, puzzles and combat, whereas the second one kind of went too far one way, I think. So hopefully this one still keeps all the stuff that makes the Hellblade franchise so cool and just adds a bit of tighter, you know, action gameplay to it.
Lee Rob, is there anything else that, like, actually has you excited, or are you still just in the going airplanes, master system, airplanes?
Duskers 2.0. I don't know if either of you played that.
No.
I think the first game was about a decade ago. It was basically like a sci-fi thing, and you're sort of remote controlling a bunch of robots inside like derelict spaceships. It was like you're basically playing it from like your computer terminal, so it was very abstract in the visuals. And it sort of hit a bunch of friends on you who are into it as well. It was a very interesting kind of game. That's kind of cool to see them revisiting it with the follow-up. So it's like it's very... Like you basically explore kind of like little sort of roguish elements in terms of like each ship was randomly generated. You didn't know what the heck you were going to encounter when you're exploring, and just seeing it from like sort of that overhead sort of deck players with like robots identified by serial numbers kind of thing as you're driving them about and controlling them. Like it's a very interesting kind of game that, like, yeah, I'm glad it's there because like it's just really neat. I kind of really want to play that when it comes out. And also the Castlevania Belmont's Curse,
yeah,
it's been done by the Dead Cells folks who, yeah. I think that's a really good mix.
That's an almost too obvious developer choice.
Yeah,
well, I mean they did the Castlevania.
They had the crossover.
Yeah.
So it just seems to make sense to do it. Yep. So I really like that's being explored. I'm looking forward to trying that out.
Yeah.
Especially because it'd be a little more linear-ish. Like, it sounds like it's not going to be like a full-on, like, you know, Symphony of the Night, Metroidvania. It's going to be a little more...
Like action definitely platformer.
Action-y. Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon that's going to be
like Shinobi was.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that...
Yeah.
Seeing how that...
Stage Tour. It wasn't on any of the shows, but it was on IGN Live, and they did an interview with the developers of Stage Tour. So those who don't know, it's a whole bunch of ex-Neversoft people that made Guitar Hero, and they're making a new Guitar Hero, but it's called Stage Tour because it's legally distinct. But yes, so it's a bunch of them and a whole bunch of people that worked on Clone Hero, which for those that don't know is the kind of homebrew PC Guitar Hero game that people have made to use with all sorts of songs and stuff like that. So they're working on making this game. And what gets me really excited, they've already announced a pretty good song list. They've only announced the first 10 songs, and there's stuff from like the Chili Peppers and Ghost and Weezer. And, you know, so the bands you kind of expect are there. So that's cool. But they talked about their campaign mode, and it's a roguelike. So, and it sounds super interesting. So basically, depending on how the game plays out, you get different gear, which means you have access to different songs to play at the next set, and you have to appease the crowd to a certain point to be able to make it to the next one or make enough money. And so they didn't go into massive detail. I think they've got something scheduled for Gamescom by the way he was skirting around the subject. But I think that sounds like a super fascinating way of doing a campaign for a game, like, because, you know, Guitar Hero and Rock Band, the campaign was you played all the songs, you got to the credits, and that was it. You know, whereas this, and that's what he's saying, they've been playing it a lot. Every time you play, it's different. You know, it spins things up differently. You know, so I like that idea. And so I'm really keen to see that. And also, you know, Guitar Hero's back. Hey.
Dust out your plastic.
Yep. And it'll work with all existing instruments, as well as obviously they'll be releasing their own. And drums and mic as well.
Oh, well, we've got this music thing on as well. I was disproportionately excited to see Guitar Hero Man. played the PSP version. Honestly, really, really loved it. Although I finished it, I think, in an afternoon. Doesn't matter if I finish this one in an afternoon. I have way too many games to play anyway, so it would be perfect. Perfect, because that's just one glorious weekend of nostalgia, and then cool, done. Wash my hands. A couple of the bigger ones that take me by pleasantly surprise for different reasons. One is the very stupidly named Final Fantasy VII Revelation. They had so many rewords, and they really fucking went with that. Like, yeah. Come on. Like, ugh. But mostly pleasant because, okay, they're clicking. Like, they've got the turnaround going. Square Enix is producing things at a
reasonable rate. Yep.
More than, and also they actually showed a shit ton of gameplay.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that reason alone. Like, the fact that, like, oh, this is actually going to happen. This is actually going to get done. And, it actually looks pretty good. Doesn't look like the most visually spectacular game in the world anymore, and it's probably a smart choice of them not to go after that fish.
Yeah.
It's like, it looks like a nicer version of the last one, and that will be good enough because these things are fucking ridiculously huge.
Yeah, I suppose I should finish the second one. I finished the first one, finally. But that did take me like 5 years. So.
Yeah, and the first one is like a pretty sensible 40-something hours. Yeah. The second one is absurd.
Yeah.
And the other one, which caught me off guard, is like I actually want to play Wolverine now. Like, I still wish it wasn't a Marvel license. Like, I could deal without that in the world for like 10 years at this point.
Yeah.
But it became increasingly clear that this is like a very linear, like very much a linear action adventure game. And we've spoken numerous times the last couple of years in this podcast about how we would like to see that come back. And I'm like, yep, going, all right, if it's going to be Insomniac instead of Naughty Dog, then sure. You know what?
Cool. Yeah, yeah. It gave me, you know, Uncharted with claws vibes.
Uncharted in a yellow jumpsuit, like, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yellow spandex. Oh, yeah.
And excessive amounts of gore.
Yeah, that blood has volume to it, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a Sam Raimi movie, you know, with the old Super 8 Evil Deads, you know.
Yeah, that there's a whole point there where that whole Sony State of Play just felt incredibly gory.
There was a fair bit of gore.
Like, Rayman felt like a salve in that thing. I was eating lunch when the trailer for Ill came on, and I was like, "Oh, this is,
yeah,
oh
no, that was something." Yeah, I guess one more for me that I God of War. What's Faye?
Laufey.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It is very annoying that they did not tell us how to say it.
No.
By the way,
and I really like that Jack Quaid is a gelatinous cube. That's just. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's
my
great.
Comments were, so it's God of War with a gelatinous companion cube. I guess I can work with this.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't get a little bit too Marvel quippy is like my one concern. Yeah, yeah. There. Like,
my son picked it up straight away. We were watching the trailer together and he went, "That's Jack Quaid." And he goes, I said, "How did you know that?" And he goes, "I've watched all 5 seasons of The Boys. I know."
I will say that, like, Faye actually looks like a fucking warrior.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's way quicker.
Feel like
than...
you were going to, like, yeah, spin kick some people in the fucking face with her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She feels super nimble and she could jump, whereas, you know, Kratos could.
It is weird that, cause, like, structurally, it still looks very God of War. It's like, I feel like I know the way this thing moves. So the jumping is a big deal. It was weird that it said 20 minutes of uninterrupted gameplay. It looked spectacular.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
they don't have to do a PS4 version this time, which is...
Yeah. Obviously a big thing. It's like, gameplay has a lot of cinematics, but also it's like the open... Like, they all do this. Like, it's not really against this game. It's just kind of like... And that's better than, like, doing, like, some sort of, you know, pre-rendered reveal trailer or whatever. Yeah. It's...
Mm.
And I also like the potential that it has, you know, because they're in God Heaven or God Afterlife. There's a lot of gods that are really not happy with Kratos, like, you know, a very large proportion of the members of this afterlife will have some things to say to Kratos' wife. So, I think they can have a lot of fun with that. You know, there's a whole pantheon of gods. Just, you know.
I'm going to give him benefit of the doubt. Like, I do believe they can pull this off.
I do too, yeah.
It is definitely a tightrope they're going to have to walk tonally, I think, for this thing.
But I do want to see some of that. I do want to see some of them go, "Hey, you're Kratos' wife. That motherfucker killed me." you know?
And I honestly kind of want to see that gelatinous cube have to be used as a bouncy castle to get across large gaps.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I suspect they're going to be the Brock and Sindri of this one.
Yeah, that's what gives me some hope that they'll work. Because actually, for the first moment, I thought, wait, maybe it is Brock and Sindri of, like, just kind of, like, poked down here. Like, that wouldn't... Those dwarves were walking between realms anyway. It wasn't an absurd idea that would... So, yeah, not 100% hyped, but more hyped than I thought I would be for them doing another God of War. Like, they found a way to make it more interesting than it otherwise might have been.
Yeah.
But, you know, with all that pleasant surprise out of the way, maybe it's time to, like, drag some shit down into the mud.
Yeah, let's get nasty.
Yeah, you said, what upset you?
What really upset me was games that I want to look forward to revealing themselves and then finding out they're chock full of AI shit.
Yeah, my basic note was, like, Sega. Like, just what the fuck, Sega? You had...
Yeah. So Crazy Taxi, I heard, yeah. And I went, fuck yeah, Crazy Taxi. And then I immediately went, oh, that looks like AI shit. Oh, it is AI shit. No.
Yeah, it was weird for me because I wasn't able to watch that. I just like, and I was out of a work assignment in the countryside almost where like I had very spotty connection. I just had this one screenshot of it like showing off my feed saying it's coming to Switch. I was looking at that and I didn't actually clock it as AI, but I was like, I don't like the art direction.
Yeah.
This does not have Crazy Taxi energy. And I guess we do have to remember that. You can still fuck up the art direction without using AI as well. Like,
but and then they did reveal it. But then also Tomb Raider was using it for...
That surprised me significantly less.
For not in-game, but, you know, what do they call it?
Pre-production.
Yeah, they've been using AI, which is, you know... Also, look... I guess I can understand developers doing it because money is a genuine fucking concern these days, but I don't know of an instance where it's actually worked out better by them doing it, you know? So
no.
I can understand the desire to find cheaper solutions to build these games that people expect. I can get that. So I'm also not the immediate, like, I'm going to burn this fucking place to the ground sort of person when it comes to AI use. But I also, there are absolute malicious uses of it that will cause me to get that reaction. But in this sort of instance, I can understand it. But at the same time, I haven't seen anyone ever come out better because they've done it. So
it won't necessarily save much money in this kind of workflow, at least. There are probably things that there are, but
there are, and you know, using AI, for example, I use Grammarly. It's a spell checker. That's technically AI. But if you ever edited a document that's only had Grammarly go through it, you'll know how fucking inferior that is when it comes to editing work. So you still need the human touch. So I worry, yeah, that they're seeing this as a money saving thing and they're not actually looking at the evidence where it's not, because I saw a report with AI use coding come out not long ago, and they said, yes, code is spat out like 50% quicker, but there's been like a 280% increase in need for extra checking on the work that it's spitting. So they're behind like 100% of workflow because everyone's got to look at this fucking code that's been spat out. So you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of evidence out there now that says, okay, maybe it isn't silver bullet to save your money. And I get that.
It's weird because especially coming from Amazon is where I get incredibly, incredibly critical because I feel like, okay, like, because especially at the moment, like, for example, the Steam disclosure is just vague.
It's very vague.
Like, it's so vague to the point where, like, if they can just, because I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of those developers are maybe just being told they have to.
Yeah.
And if all of these games just have to have that disclosure, it loses all meaning.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then, like, that's how you kind of...
There is finesse in this argument. And
open the gates to, like, just a lot more slop just, like, slipping through.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure some Amazon execs would love, because they would see it as, like, of course, what you're going to learn is, like, in the same way, if you write a book and you write a pretty good book, it still needs a shit ton of editing before it actually becomes a really good book. And
Yeah.
But also, back to being angry at Sega. Also, did you have to Digital Necromancy 2 pack?
That was an interesting one. I read an interview with the director on that one, and they went and got permission, like, from...
I learned a lot of stuff that I did not know from this, actually.
Yeah, from the family, they went and got permission about it. The family were okay. They got permission
from the lawyers, I believe, although the sister of Tupac is suing the lawyer.
Oh, okay.
For it, like, so they got legal permission, but they did not get ethical permission, is the way I'm like, fine.
Yeah, well, the way I read it, he spoke to some of the family members and they said they were okay with it. But, you know, whatever, those sort of things are always going to be a murky situation, right? There's whenever someone's estate is involved, who's in charge of the estate and what people actually want is quite often two different things.
And like how much sense, because it's, I guess, like if you're playing sports games or something that, like, you know, have previous leagues, you're technically, but it at least on some level it makes sense. One, I would always assume the family knows, and two, it's like going, okay, this legendary soccer player is playing soccer in the soccer game, that's not really offending anybody.
No,
this just it doesn't make sense. It feels like an unnecessary thing.
No.
It doesn't fit. It's just like Snoop Dogg wanted it. There's a time when I think I would have thought Snoop Dogg was cool. Now he just seems like a grifter.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg, even though Snoop Dogg's in it, like, that makes sense. He's alive. He's well. He could play, you know, and apparently he's playing this kind of American that's coming in to trying to break into the you know, underground crime scene in Japan. So, you know, that makes sense. Whatever. That works. But why bring up Tupac when you're not going to use his voice? They're not AI generating the voice, which is a good thing.
That would be an absolute fucking nightmare.
No, they're getting a voice actor. So, you know, why? Why have him there? Like, he has no connection. Like, it's not like he...
He's not even a relevant public persona anymore.
You know, he was dead before the first game came out in the series. So it's not like he even, you know, was well known for loving the series before he died. Because that would even... has some.
Yeah, it makes some sense. If you were making Lord of the Rings game and Stephen Colbert had passed on, like, I don't think anybody would be upset if you.
Yeah,
like,
you know, it's all make a Death Stranding game with Jeff Keighley.
They did that, didn't they? Like, he was actually in the first.
But yeah, you know, it's just, it's an odd. It's really odd. Yeah. It's strange. Very strange. Virtua Fighter looked good, though.
Well, the thing is, that's tainted now because, like, that studio has, like, had a couple of pretty big fubs when it comes to characters and casting and things. Like, and because Virtua Fighter does not look like a fighting game, and this should be 100% my jam because Shenmue was originally Virtua Fighter RPG, and it looks like they're fucking doing Virtua Fighter RPG again.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what that game is at the moment. Like,
it's still a fighting game. It's just got, like, you know, World Tour mode in... Street Fighter. It's just like a way better version of World Tour mode than what Capcom did. And then they'll still have the fighting game
somewhere in there, presumably.
Yeah.
With no recognizable characters, which
they'll be there.
Yeah.
They'll be there.
I would presume so, but, like, you know, Capcom did it with Street Fighter 3.
Yeah, they still like Ken and Ryu.
On the original version? I actually don't remember that far in the 90s. Right, so fine. Akira will be there somewhere. For like the three people who can actually play him effectively.
Yeah. But yeah, disappointments.
Oh, disappointment in Deltarune, not because it's Deltarune, but because for about 2 seconds of that trailer I thought it was a fucking new Pikmin. I'm actually quite excited for Deltarune to be finished so I can go in and play it. But, like, I was more excited at the prospect of Pikmin. Because it really was just like a little bud, like, coming out from the ground. Or Nintendo in general, actually.
I was about to say, I was really disappointed with Nintendo. We got two remakes and some DLC.
It's just like,
and that's it from Nintendo.
Fire Emblem
Everything else
looks
was
pretty good, but it is worrying to me that they are so heavy in remake mode right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was definitely disappointed. Like, I'm still just going to reiterate my disappointment that Dust Bloods is a multiplayer game.
Yeah, that's fair.
The remake thing from Nintendo, like, it's not like a series that's been abandoned. Like, Ocarina of Time, you know, it's not like it's an entry that's hard to play. You know, the N64 one's on the Switch Online. So, yeah, it feels like maybe remaking another one could have been cooler.
Old enough to be... It would be cooler. I can see why they're doing that. It's just they're just doing that, and Star Fox is such a big part of their...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're games that, have come out multiple times.
Yeah.
Previously.
Like, I would love to have seen some other stuff. Like, I would love to see, I don't know, Link Between Worlds be available on more than the 3DS.
Yeah. I find it hard to get excited about Zelda in general. I'm one of the very few that I think Link to the Past was the best Zelda game, and they never told it. But
That alone there, actually. Yeah. I do think there's quite a few of you.
Yeah, but that's because I'm old and craggy. but I worry Nintendo have got nothing in their bag. Like, it feels like they've got nothing in their bag. I buy the Switch for Nintendo, like a lot of people. We buy the Switch for Nintendo. We don't buy it for as good as the Capcom ports and stuff are. I'm not playing Pragmata on that. I'm not playing, you know, whatever Resident Evil.
It would be very special circumstances for me to decide that, yes, this is the system I will play Resident Evil
on. Yeah, you know, so, like, as good as, and I'm not, like, Capcom have done really good with their ports, but it's not the game. The system. The system is there for Nintendo games, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. And I want Nintendo games, but we're not getting anything new.
Like, yeah. I have heard the theory that like, the quality of that Direct really does depend on is this your console?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or not. Like,
if you only like have a Switch 2, then sure.
Great. You're going to get a good Direct. But yeah, you got a good Direct.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the feeling I got as well. Was like I sort of, yeah, read through the list here, everything. It's like, as someone who would like to get a Switch 2 at some point, yeah.
Preferably there just wasn't September, enough. September, I'm guessing, actually. Like,
yeah. No, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, that price hike, you know, it's like, I'm sure you talked about it last time, but like, that price hike on the Steam Deck, put a bullet in that. That price hike on the Switch 2 is probably going to do a lot of...
What the fuck's going on with New Zealand, by the way? Was I just reading a typo there? Is it going, like, way more expensive in New Zealand for some reason?
More. Even more.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing that definitely worries me about the Ninty side of things. Like, there just isn't... There's not really the pull, like, other than playing, like... some of the more demanding Switch 1 games at better quality.
Yeah.
It's just, there isn't that.
Donkey Kong Bonanza nice to have, is awesome. Don't get me wrong. Like, that game is fantastic, but I can't think of another game on the system that is a must have. You know? Like, I don't know. It feels barren.
It's worrying.
That's not to say they're bad. Like, the Yoshi's game's apparently pretty good, and if you like the sort of vibes of Pocopia, then that's definitely got its crowd.
Yeah, that seems to be the one, like, actual bit of Nintendo magic that is, like, leaked out.
Yeah, but otherwise, I don't know, man. Prime 4 didn't quite hit.
It was a polished-ass-looking... Okay, it was the 9%. It's like a very polished 7 out of 10. Like,
yeah.
Nintendo would polish one of those to this degree.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, it is a bit concerning.
I bet that Ocarina of Time remake is going to be excellent.
I'm sure it is.
They need, and it makes some sense. It's like, okay, that's not going to clash with Grand Theft Auto as well. Like, they've got, got that. But you know, they weren't the only disappointments there. Some other weird things. One was, like, noticed just as a general thing that Unreal Engine 5 visual unification creep was kind of really a thing, especially in the Xbox show. It was like, a lot of these games are starting to look very the same in a way that I don't like. And also, no issue with them returning to exclusivity.
No, I don't have an issue with it.
At all. But about a week, 2 weeks ago, there's an email that went out from my main workplace. Like, they have traditionally had bins for collecting pet bottle recycling, and they're getting rid of them. They put this whole thing about, it's like, this is our environmental first initiative. Please consider buying a more reusable water bottle.
Yep.
I was like, cool. Are you getting rid of the vending machines that are there next to you as well? It's like, no, they're not. It's like, you know, just fucking own it, man. Like, don't pretend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, because, sure, make them exclusive again, but don't pretend that the PS5 version was not basically done.
Yeah,
it's like where I'm getting at. It's just like, just straight up say, yeah, we've decided to make this exclusive. Like, they're like really trying very hard to make it sound like this has been like this for a while. It's like,
everyone knows that there is only since the new boss came in. Like, they're not convincing anyone.
Yeah, it's like, just fucking own it, and we'll like let you go.
Like, I could believe that Clockwork Revolution was never going to be a PlayStation game.
I would still be skeptical, but I would not be it's not like Gears of War is like on, come on, guys. Like, just say we decided to make it exclusive and like, fair enough.
Yeah. Everyone's kind of like, yeah, okay. Your experiment didn't quite work. So
I think the reason the experiment happened in the first place is that we've had to guess was a lot of people had, or Phil probably had, specific pressures about returns on games, and the only way to hit them was to do that.
Yep.
Whereas you reset the clock, and then they've got different targets set in, and one of them is probably to like build the brand back again, in which case that concern is now lesser.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed. The other thing in the Xbox thing that disappointed me was Age of Empires 4. not so much that we're getting more Age of Empires 4. It's very good. I like Age of Empires 4. We've had a lot of great content for that. But maybe it's time to do a new one, because we've had Age of Mythology redone, we've had Age of Empire 2, 3 redone, and we've all had Age of Empire 4 now for like 5 or 6 years. We've had that. And they've been looking after it. Don't get me wrong. Lots of great content. It's been really well looked after. Very good game. But how about Age of Mythology 2, or, you know, a new Age of, like, it's time for something new. Let's go. Keep those 10 RTS players like me happy.
Remember when that genre was booming in the late 90s?
Oh, yeah. The glory times of Command & Conquer of Warcraft. They were just the greatest.
And all the lesser ones that tried to
copy those. You had the whole year of Total Annihilation and Dark Reign.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Total Annihilation was awesome, too. It could 6 million bloody units on the screen at once. It was great. Yeah.
And all little polygonal suckers, too. Yeah, they were just sprites.
Yep. That was good. It's good stuff. But, yeah. That's what I want from Age of Empires. Not more expansions. I want new. But it's greedy.
I mean, you would buy it at least.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, back to Sega being on my disappointment list was like just...
more Sega.
No, the reason why I... It's because of my childhood.
Yeah.
And after the Master Sega. System High as well. Which wasn't actually Sega's doing. Just... Persona 4 remake doesn't look that exciting, and the Persona 6 reveal
was a logo.
Quote elsewhere was like, there was no source, man. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, this should have been a lot more hype than it was. Like, this is like, okay. I now know for sure that Persona 6 is happening. I already kind of knew. And there's like zero excitement there.
Yeah, it was kind it of like a great reveal, that one.
Yeah, and like this kind of slimy new Ghostbusters look the logo as well. I'm going, is this kind of is the energy in this going to be right? Like,
I don't know. Yeah. I can't be convinced to try those games because they're all 4,000 hours long, and I'm not sure I can commit to that.
And they are very long, yeah, which is a shame because they're also good.
Yeah, I have enough trouble getting to the games that I'm really hyped for, let alone one I'm unsure on, so.
Yeah. Story of the life.
Yeah. And then I do dumb shit like start a replay of The Witcher.
Yeah, speaking of things that are 4,000
hours. I'm 40 hours into my replay, so.
Man, you could have played some other shit in that time.
I could have, but I'm enjoying it.
It's about to say that game is probably still pretty good.
It's really good. The stories are so... Yeah. Anyway, we're not here to talk about The Witcher and how bloody good it is.
Yeah. We should probably start winding down, actually. Do we have anything we're just like kind of like curious, wait and see that we want to like give a quick mention to before we...
Well, there's Star Wars XCOM, which I'm pretty keen on. We didn't get a lot of that, but, you know, Star Wars XCOM. And Clutch.
Yes.
Which is...
Yeah, Jalen Brunson, the game.
Yeah, it's the lead director of Forza Horizon, the last few Forza Horizon games, basically doing Fast and the Furious. So like,
yeah, I'm very curious, like how much of this is going to be story, how much is going to be
racing. It's cool. Yeah. So I like this concept that it's kind of this kind of story mixed with the Forza Horizon kind of styling. So I'm keen to see more of that. I have hopes.
One for me was Gundam Rogue Orbit, which is like Gundam with like kind of EDF-ish.
Yeah, it looked tendency. Like that, didn't it? Yeah.
Like I'm kind of wondering like, very interesting, just use of the license to go in something a bit off kilter like that.
That actually looks pretty cool because it's not like we get a whole lot of Gundam stuff in the West anyway. Like,
so yeah, I'm kind of interested to see where they go with that.
Oh, and Mafia's getting DLC. That was wild. Didn't expect that.
Completely missed that even.
Yeah, the old country's getting DLC, which surprised me. Like I knew it did pretty well. I'm really happy because that was that linear game we're talking to. That was it.
Yeah.
Yep. That was it, and it made me so happy to play that game.
It was the
really best PS4 game I'd played, PS3 game I'd played in years. So
it might be time to put that in the Steam wish list for when the sale drops.
Yep.
Yeah, in my case, one, just because I thought it was odd that Dragon Dogma 2 had its DLC announced through both Switch 2 version. Port. Like,
that feels like it's appropriate for that game, though.
I was like, that, sure, why not, I guess. I mean, actually, there probably are reasons why not. I feel like there could have been a smarter way, such as, you know, just announcing it in one of the main things by itself. The one of a couple of games I'm like on the fence about, one, Until Dawn 2, that first one really caught me off guard. Did not expect to like it nearly as much as I did. Second one, trailer looks all right. Different developer, though, which has me a little bit...
It does have Peter Stormare in it, though.
And yeah, he was in the first one as well, though.
Was he? I didn't play the first one. Was he in the first one?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Peter Stormare's good in everything, so I'm happy to give it the benefit. Yeah.
And the other one that I'm like, now, like, this could go either way, is Star Wars Galactic Racer.
Yes.
This looked really cool, but you've made it sound interesting before, you said, but like doing this as a roguelike, I'm starting like, when I learned that, I was like,
this is roguelike.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, okay, this is becoming the new open world for we want to make our game bigger. And it seems like it's like, this is how we do it without it being a lot cheaper to develop. I don't know if I want that from a racing game.
Maybe. Maybe it's an interesting
As a side activities, they might find something, but I've gone from like, this looks like a pretty good... I mean, we don't get that many arcade races anymore, so like, just having that alone would have been novelty to like, okay, it could still be really cool, but I'm like, all right, cool my jets a little bit, I'm going to wait and see.
There's new Hot Wheels.
There is, and that looks reliable, like, and I will enjoy it when it comes out, but I'm not going to be hyped about it until it does, I think. That's probably how that's going to go. They probably knew that they hit. I don't think Scream has sold very well.
Yeah, I think that was a bit of a miss, that one.
Hot Wheels, I imagine, will be a hit. Like, those last two games have been better than that was really probably deserved.
They were a lot of fun, those last games. Good party games. Probably have more fun with them than the last Mario Kart with the family, to be honest. We played Hot Wheels a bit.
If you actually get into the feel of it, like the
yeah,
I can see where the Screamers problem came in, because my main criticism with that one reviewing Hot Wheels 2 was like, this feels like it takes a little bit more practice to get into than you would expect from a game that should be targeting 8-year-olds.
Yeah.
Oh yes,
that's it pays itself off, but like I feel like it should be a bit more forgiving considering the target audience.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I have to say it was better than I expected.
Yeah, the whole thing. I thought we were going to get a lot of delays and a lot of 2026-7 dates, but it was...
We got September instead.
Yeah.
It's going to be awkward enough for us. It's going to be worse for, like the actual sites where this is people's jobs, though. Like, all of this work crammed into this 1 month, and then Christmas is going to be kind of barren.
It's going to give us a lot of time to... Especially if you don't want to play GTA, it's going to give you a lot of time to catch up on shit, you know?
Oh, yeah. Some of that stuff's already going to be half price as well. Like, you miss a couple of September games, roll around November, and it's going, huh?
Yeah. You get it on sale.
20% off now.
Yep. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Interesting end of year, I think. To see what stays there, see if anything blinks and moves. I still think there's a space there. They could probably do an early December launch and still...
Yeah, I'm surprised early December feels like...
That feels like there's a gap there.
Yeah, if you have the right title that like would not be eaten by people still playing GTA.
Yeah. And, you know, GTA is the sort of game that I think people take a long time playing, but not necessarily they only play GTA. I think GTA is going to... Everyone's going to buy it, obviously, but... I know, I certainly play Rockstar games like that if I'm not reviewing them. They're the game I play, but I also have another game or two going at the same time. They're not the sort of thing I sit down and exclusively play because they're quite a lot to them, obviously.
Us, I think, is a catch. I mean, we're going to learn a lot, I think, at the end of this year about buying habits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even Call of Duty's going a week early, so, yeah.
Just get out of the fucking way, bitches.
Yep.
Anyway, speaking of things being overly long, I would have had a great segue if we're still talking about Persona.
Yeah.
Rob, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, pleasure as always.
You got anything cooking, or are you still like nose deep in textbooks or whatever?
By the time the pod comes out, it'll be out after the pod comes out, but I've got to look at Ninja Golf.
Ninja Golf? 78,
to the Atari 7800. Ninjas and Golf, cool. Together at last.
I like one of those things.
It sounds like, well, Live Golf's got competition.
Actually, in video games, they like golf.
Yeah, and hopefully I can start ramping up to some bigger things on that side of the fence in the future.
Yeah. And I believe it's still Rob Cap at the
Blue Sky. Yeah, Rob Cap on the Blue Sky.
Beyond the Scanlines on YouTube, yeah.
Yeah, at Beyond the Scanlines on one thing, you know, at over there. A little dice of weirdness and slice of oddities and whatever else I've worked through.
I mean, there's a backlog of videos there as well at this point, actually.
Yeah, I've been making videos of various sorts for more than a decade.
Don't say that out loud. Speaking of things coming soon, like you say, you would know all of them.
Yeah, well, I've got golf on Friday mornings, but that's not for anyone else, you know. So, I have played Dawnwalker, Blood of Dawnwalker, whatever it's called. I can't say anything about it, but I have played it. I am allowed to say that I've played it, and they'll have a preview of that coming soon. I've also got a few hardware reviews coming up. I got some new headphones and a laptop to review. But that's about it, really. Otherwise, everyone else has been doing. There hasn't been a lot of review games and things, so
it's been pretty quiet on the old front.
So we've got a few different features and stuff up. We've got all the coverage from the Games Fest with all the trailers. If you want to go and watch them, all handily put together by Paul, Jess, and myself. So yeah, go and check all that out on Player 2, and you can find me at Huso on Blue Sky. And if you want me to swear about football or post cooking pictures, that's where you find me.
Yeah, if you want to see some barbecue pictures, you're going to get them.
Yeah.
You want to see some dry rubs and some meat. Dude, that sounds weird. When you say that.
No, you need age verification for that now, Tim.
I've already seen age verification and some stuff that really should not need it, so you might actually manage to somehow have a lamb chop end up with that.
That's the next Sam. Make a picture.